Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fresh Frozen Southerner podcast. My name is Jay. I hope all is well. All right, guys, to continue our Halloween-themed episodes, I thought today I would tell a couple of stories from my personal history that had been kind of odd or spooky or supernatural. Unfortunately, none of them actually happened at Halloween, but they're still good stories, and I thought I would give them a retelling. Now, I have already told the story of the UFO I saw one night, so I'm not going to recount that one. That's not a very dramatic story anyway. But the first one I thought I would tell, when I was in high school, a good friend of mine lived in a little rural community outside of the town of Bluefield where I grew up. Now, we lived outside of town as well, so to get to his house, I had two choices. I could either drive to Bluefield and then get on another back road and go to his old community, and if I did that, it would take about 45 minutes, or I could drive these little dirt roads over the mountain and kind of directly go to his house. It was terrible roads, but it was quite a bit quicker and a lot shorter miles-wise. But these roads were, like I say, they were state-maintained roads, but they were just gravel roads. So it was like you were driving through the 50s, and you drove through this little valley, and there was a creek that ran along the road, but beavers had moved into the area, and all the way down through that little valley, it was just beaver dam after beaver dam after beaver dam. It was basically just a swamp all the way down this valley, and it was just very kind of a creepy feel to it. You felt like you were 1,000 miles from civilization, and maybe, like I say, it felt like you're driving through the 50s on that gravel road. You don't see many gravel roads anymore. But I was going to my friend's house one day, and as I was driving through that valley, an animal crossed the road about 75 yards in front of my car. Now, I have told this story to a lot of people. I've been told I was crazy on multiple occasions. But I grew up in the country. I grew up hunting. I grew up fishing. We would go into the woods and cut firewood a lot of Sundays during the fall. I spent a lot of time in the outdoors. I know what bears look like. I know what white-tailed deer look like. I know what beavers look like. I know what bobcats look like. Squirrels, rabbits, groundhogs. I have seen every animal that lives in those mountains. What the hell ran across the road in front of me, I have absolutely zero idea. It was sort of a pale tan color, so I know it wasn't a bear. It had a very long, very shaggy tail, so it was definitely not a deer. It did not have a long neck, for one thing, so I know it absolutely was not a deer. Like I say, it was very shaggy. Its legs were very thick, and it had this tiny little, very narrow, long head. It was not a bobcat. It was not a mountain lion. I've personally never seen a mountain lion. I've talked to a lot of people that claim that they have seen mountain lions in that area. Supposedly they are moving back into that part of the Appalachian Mountains. I've seen trail cam pictures of people with mountain lions, but I've never personally seen a mountain lion, although supposedly they are back in that area. Again, I have no idea what ran across the road in front of me. It was the most bizarre looking creature I've ever seen. This is not a situation where I looked up and just caught a glimpse of it. I saw it come out of the woods down the bank and trot across the road in front of me. I saw it for probably 7 or 8 seconds is how long it was in view of me. And, you know, I'm looking at this thing as it's going across the road, and I'm leaning forward into the windshield because, I mean, obviously, if you're 75 yards away from something and you can't really make it out, moving your head 6 inches closer is just going to make all the difference in the world. I have never seen anything like this animal in the woods before or since. Maybe it was somebody that owns a just horribly disfigured golden retriever and it was out running around. It was a little bit bigger than any golden retriever I've ever seen, but that is the closest description. If you could imagine a golden retriever's body with just very long, and when I say long, I'm talking it looked like it was about 1.5 feet long snout, and this incredibly long shaggy tail, that is about the closest description I can come. Again, I have no freaking idea what in the hell that was that ran across in front of me. The only thing I know is it was nothing that I have seen before. Like I say, it was not a bear, it was not a deer, it was full daylight when I saw it, so it's not like I was just getting a glimpse of it in the headlights. I got a very good look at this animal and it freaked me out. I have no clue what it was. And like I say, it's kind of spooky driving up that road anyway, because you feel, I mean, even though you're, as the crow flies, you're only about 5 miles from a town. But when you're driving down that road, it feels like you were on the back end of history. It's like you were just completely removed from humanity, and it's got kind of a creepy feel going down that road anyway. Now, again, like my UFO story, that's not very dramatic. I did not have any kind of encounter with this thing, but I saw something really weird one day, and I will go to my grave swearing up and down that that was not a normal creature. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, it did not belong in the Appalachian Mountains. And like I say, I've been told I'm crazy on several occasions, but I guarantee the people that are telling me I'm crazy, if I had told them I'd spotted Bigfoot, they'd be more believing than that story, which doesn't make any sense. But yeah, if I'd have told them, hey, I saw Bigfoot one day, they'd be like, really? Really? Did you get a picture of it? Really? You saw it? I would not encounter just this wall of negativity that I've always gotten from telling this weird creature story. But that's not the only strange story I've got. From years ago, as a much younger man, I worked at Bluefield Country Club in Bluefield, West Virginia. Now, Bluefield Country Club is a very old building. It was completed in 1912 and opened for business that same year. And any building that's over 100 years old is going to have some history. One of the more fun stories in the history of Bluefield Country Club was on New Year's Eve in 1946, a cargo plane left from Washington, D.C. I don't know where it was heading. It was a very snowy night, and in the storm, they decided to try to land at the Knoxville Airport. The visibility was such that when they got to Knoxville, they could not risk a landing. So they decided to turn around and go back to Washington, D.C. Now, the storm intensified, and they were running low on fuel, and they made an emergency landing on the golf course of the Bluefield Country Club. They did a belly landing onto the golf course. Nobody was injured. Like I say, this was a BR-1 Conestoga cargo plane, but it did have 6 passengers aboard as well as 2 crew. Nobody was injured in the crash. The plane was a complete loss. It was damaged beyond repair, but nobody on the plane was hurt. The country club was having their New Year's Eve party that evening. I think the plane crashed around 11 p.m. People from the party at the country club went out onto the golf course, course, made sure everybody was okay, but once they found out everybody was okay, they brought the passengers and crew of the airplane back to the country club, and the people on the plane stayed for the New Year's Eve party at the country club. Also, being that old, there were a few deaths in the building. There was a member that passed away, not violently or through an accident. It was natural causes. I don't know what year that happened. Actually, I don't know what year any of the deaths occurred. There was also an employee that was working overnight. I don't know if he was doing repairs or just cleaning, but he also died of natural causes. They found his body in the morning. There was also one murder in the building, in the original men's locker room. Now, they did do a renovation and an expansion to the building sometime in the 50s, and the men's locker room and the women's locker room were moved into the new addition to the building. Originally, the men's locker room was on the second floor of the building above the ballroom. One of the members murdered his wife late one evening in the men's locker room, and he carried her body out to the number 9 tee box and dumped her on the edge of the woods. Now, everybody that worked there claimed to have had odd happenings, and actually my wife, girlfriend at the time, worked there as a waitress. She was setting up tables one evening in the dining room, and she come running back into the kitchen just white as a ghost, and she told me that as she was setting out place settings on the table, it sounded like somebody whispered right in her ear, "She's there." But she was completely freaked out by that. At the end of my time there, I was the bartender. Being the bartender, I was the only person in that building late at night, pretty much every night. One of my little routines was at the end of the evening, once the last of the members had left, I would go around and I would make sure all of the doors leading into the building were locked before I started putting everything away and cleaning up to shut down. Now, there were 9 or 10 doors in and out of this building, but I would make sure everybody was out. I would lock all the doors and then I would do my closing duties. After I was done, before I left, I would always go around and double check all of the doors. on multiple occasions when I would do that, I would find doors unlocked that I absolutely know I locked an hour before that. A lot of times sitting at the bar, if it was quiet. Now, again, this could be explained away fairly easily. It's a very old building, very large building. It gets very cold in Bluefield, so you have a lot of noises as buildings warm up and cool off. But it would sound like people were walking around in the ballroom. The bar was basically underneath the edge of the ballroom. So if somebody was walking across the ballroom, you could hear it very clearly. But a lot of times at night I was sitting there and you would hear people moving around upstairs. And again, this is at a time where I know that I had gotten everybody out of the building and I was there by myself. The only really demonstrably paranormal thing I ever witnessed, one night I was getting tablecloths or napkins. I was in the laundry room, which is upstairs in the old part of the building, and it was actually originally a small sitting room at the base of the stairs leading up to the old men's locker room, which, remember, is where that woman was murdered one evening. While I was in there getting what I needed, one of the dryers turned on by itself. Now, these were very old dryers. I think they were from the 60s. They did not have timers or anything on them. But this washing machine just turned itself on while I was 2 feet away grabbing stuff off a shelf. That was a very, very odd feeling when that machine turned on. And I'm proud to say I did not run out of the room, but believe me, I did not linger. I got what I needed and I got the hell out of that room. But that's all of my stories from the Bluefield Country Club. It was a lot of fun working there. Like I say, it was very spooky being in that old building at night by myself. Okay, I've got one more story. It's actually a two-parter. Part of the story does not really involve me directly. The second part does. My wife's mother, when she was very young, I think the story is that she was about 4 years old at the time. And my wife's grandmother told me this story. She said that she was in the kitchen one day, and my mother-in-law walked in and started asking her, can she ride her bike when Granny and Papa get here? Well, my wife's grandmother was like, you don't have a bike. I haven't spoken to my parents. They're not supposed to come by today. Well, she was very insistent. She said she came in several times over the course of the next couple of hours asking if she would be allowed to ride her bike when the grandparents got there. Well, about 2 o'clock that afternoon, the doorbell rings. And my wife's grandmother went and opened the door, and it was her parents. They had decided to come by unannounced to surprise my mother-in-law with the new bicycle that they had purchased her the day before. Now, flash forward to about 50 years later. Now, I don't recall why we did it, but for whatever reason, we were going to my aunt and uncle's house to have Easter dinner. But we were doing it on Saturday. I don't recall why we weren't going on Easter Sunday, but we were going to have dinner with the family the Saturday before Easter. Now, my in-laws live in North Carolina, and a lot of times when holidays or birthdays roll around, we're not going to get to see each other. They will mail the children's gifts to the house. But we went and we had dinner with my family, and we left their house about 9 o'clock, and it was about a two-hour drive back to our house in Bluefield. Now, we had not even been away from my aunt and uncle's house 10 minutes, and my daughter asked me, when we get home, can I watch Pinocchio? Now, my daughter was like 5 at the time. I don't know that she had ever mentioned wanting to see Pinocchio. I'm kind of surprised she was even aware of that movie. But I told her and said, no, it's going to be 11 o'clock by the time we get home. We don't have Pinocchio on DVD. There's not going to be anything open by that time to try to go rent it. You need to get in bed when we get home. We're not watching any movies. Well, about 2 minutes later, she asked again. She said, I want to watch Pinocchio when I get home. And I just kept telling her. She simply kept asking. I kept telling her, we don't have Pinocchio on DVD. It's going to be too late when we get home. You cannot watch a movie when we get home. Eventually, I got very upset. I just told her, you're not watching any movies when we get home. Stop asking. It's going to be too late. You're going to bed when we get home. Well, she finally let it go, and we drove home. And when we arrived at the house, there was a large box sitting on the front porch. And it was the children's Easter gifts from my in-laws in North Carolina. Well, we get in. We get the kids in. I get that box, and I open it up, and I'm going through stuff. And On top, there was a lot of clothes, and once I moved those, there was a stack of DVDs. And sitting right on top of that stack of DVDs was a copy of Pinocchio. Again, I had never heard my daughter ask about Pinocchio. Now, I knew that my in-laws were getting her a movie. She had asked for a copy of Enchanted. I knew that they were going to buy her a DVD. Again, no mention of Pinocchio. I don't think that she knew Pinocchio existed. I had never heard that word come out of her mouth. I was absolutely floored when I opened that box up and there was that Pinocchio DVD. And before you ask, yes, I have on several occasions tried to get my daughter to pick lottery numbers. No, it has not worked out. You can tell that because I am recording this show in a house that I do not like in Pennsylvania and not from the cabin in the Smokies by a lake as I would be doing had we won the lottery. All right, guys, I am out of spooky stories. I'm sure everybody has stories like this. Guys, if you would send me some of your stories from your personal life, I'd like to read those on the air next Friday before Halloween. I hope I get some submissions. If not, I'll come up with something else. But if you have a story you'd like to relate, I'd love to hear from you. Please send me an email at freshfrozensoutherner@gmail.com, and I'll read your story on the next Friday's episode. All right, guys, that's about all I've got for you today. Enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you very much.